Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen, and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. That guy right there, that cuddly little fella, the little cherub, the little man ready to read supernatural news to us. Why, that's Tim Dennis. Hi, Tim.
I haven't been called little since I was, six or seven.
I'm going with cherub as well.
Okay.
Just trying to get put people in that holiday festive mood.
Okay. All right.
You know.
I'll buy it.
Just imagining you with little wings and a diaper on, plucking a harp.
I do that at least twice a week. Yeah. Just for fetish sake. Yeah.
Hey, listen, you bastards and bastiches all across the world that have been listening to this show and feeling like you're just given to us by listening. How about you actually do something and call in with a story? 651-300-4977. Stop being so stingy. Jeez. Two. That's what we have this week, Tim. Two. Lazy ass. And one guy didn't even call in. He just recorded it for us, Tim.
Well, that was nice.
Which we appreciate.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we'll take that. Yeah. But the rest of these people, it's just, we'll just listen to Dave and Tim. We'll let them do all the work.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what we do. I mean, that's what
we do. No, Tim, we fill the airwaves with their stories.
Okay.
And if they don't write in their stories and they don't call in their stories, then we haven't got their stories.
Oh.
Don't enable these people, Tim.
I'm sorry.
These people. Look, we flip roles.
I guess.
Usually you're all loving it, or I'm all loving and cajoling, and you're all, these people.
Well.
Today I'm grumpy. I feel like crap. I got a cold. My chest hurts. My head hurts. My back hurts.
I think my whole turnaround was the almost fatal car accident. I think it was a head injury.
Now you're all give love a chance?
Yeah, now I'm going to give love and peace a chance. Yeah.
See, here's what happened as we've swapped roles. You've become John Lennon and Merry Christmas or Happy Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I've become Paul McCartney with a shittier version of that song. That's what's happened here.
I guess so.
God, am I wrong? Or is Paul McCartney's Christmas song the crappiest thing on planet Earth next to Stevie Nicks' goat rendition of Silent Night?
What? You don't like Paul McCartney's Christmas song?
No, dude, it's so crappy. It's so generic. It's like an eight-year-old wrote it.
What?
You listen to John Lennon's song, and it's so beautiful, right? War is over, and it's just such a beautiful song. And then Paul McCartney's trite crap junk song comes on, and you're just like, oh, Paul.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas.
Right, and there's like a bad synth in the background. It's just so bland and junky.
It's kind of
blech. No, Tim. No, the head injury definitely affected you. I thought for a second you were going to actually defend Stevie Nicks' goat-like version of Silent Night.
No, you can never defend that, Dave.
That's, no, there's no defending it.
Head injury or not, you can't defend that one.
There are two Christmas songs I just, well, make it three now. There are three Christmas songs I feel indefensible.
Okay.
Barbra Streisand's Jingle Bells.
I'll agree, yeah.
What an assault on my every part of my senses. If you haven't heard it, folks, she does it at a blinding speed. And I think she's trying to make it fun and joyful.
But it's an assault on the ears, yeah.
God, it's horrible. And then, yeah. Listen, all right, I will admit Stevie Nicks is the best part of Fleetwood Mac.
Wow.
I'm not a Fleetwood Mac fan. I've never hidden that from the world, Tim. Whoa. I don't appreciate it. Doesn't mean that they're not a good band. They're just not my cup OT.
What about Lindsey Buckingham?
You know what? I'd go insane. I love that song and right. The theme from Vacation. And okay. Other than that, Lindsey Buckingham can take a flying leap.
Wow. You wouldn't say Lindsey Buckingham's the best part of Fleetwood Mac?
No. Look at him. Crazy ass eraser head hair. And
He's very talented.
So you say.
No, a lot of guitarists, I'll tell you, he's very talented.
A lot of people will tell me a lot of people are talented. Doesn't mean I buy it. See, I'm very curmudgeonly today, Tim. Very curmudgeon. The Grinch is upon me. My heart has shrunken three times its natural state.
Huh.
I'm so tired of being a bacteria factory at home, dude. I just want to take these kids and send them off to Japan for a while. Just give me like 2 years of not feeling crappy because I got seven kids in seven different schools. Bah, humbug.
What will they do in Japan to debacterialize them?
I don't care. Just let them have the diseases for a while.
Oh, okay.
I just want 2 years of like no disease and no coughs and colds and feeling like crap. That's what I want, Tim. Is that asking so much, Mr. Cratchit?
No. I was just in my mind trying to go through what they have in Japan that would debacterialize the children to send them back.
Godzilla.
Okay, there's that. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'll give you that.
Anyway, so, I digress. Going back to Stevie Nicks.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks, version, yeah. Folks. Tim.
Yes.
I'm going to do my best not to evoke the spirit of Rolf the dog in this impersonation.
Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
But this is Silent Night.
Okay.
By Stevie Nicks, as performed by Dave Schrader's interpretive version.
Go ahead.
And I feel I'm pretty spot on.
Okay.
Silent night, meh. Holy night, meh.
That's what it sounds like. For 3 minutes.
I think
it's the worst version of a song ever recorded.
I think you missed the spirit of the song, though, Dave. It's as if she's actually in the manger with Jesus and Joseph and Mary.
She is in the manger. Maybe Stevie Nicks in her witchy ways was there at the manger, and she was under cloak and dagger. She was, you know, one of the little loving creatures that knelt by Christ's baby's side.
Exactly. Now you're getting the idea of the song.
And then he said no, and he flung her to the future, made her part of Fleetwood Mac. Jesus was having none of that.
Joseph picked her up by the horns and flung her into the future.
All is calm, all is bright, bright, bright.
It's like she's overseeing the beautiful birth of Jesus. Oh. Like she's actually there. You're supposed. It's a period piece, Dave.
And then Paul McCartney and his. What the hell is the name of the song? Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time.
There you go.
I think he's embarrassed by it too. I got to be honest with you.
Well, what if he breaks it out in concert?
I won't go see him again. You and I saw him at his peak.
We did, yeah.
Well, people might debate that. I mean, there was the Beatles. We saw him in 90, 30 years after the Beatles. But we still saw him when he was kind of really, he was still Paul McCartney.
At the height of his powers.
Yeah, yeah, he was great. Wasn't he fantastic?
He was amazing.
Unbelievably good. I saw three concerts of Paul McCartney's from the late 80s through the early 90s. And I love the fact that the guys were selling the T-shirts out front.
Oh, yes.
Remember the Paul McCartney shirts?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
We had a great time at that concert. until we realized our friend who we called last minute told him, hey, dude, they're selling scalp tickets. They came down and bought a pair of scalp tickets. I think they were like 10 bucks each.
Yeah.
Which put them in the Metrodome in the last row of the upper deck. And it just so happens that the Christ child apparently was viewing upon them and said, nay, nay, nay. And the McCartney people didn't like everybody sitting that far away. Didn't they move them to like eighth row center or something ridiculous?
Yes, they did. Yeah, they didn't want anybody up in the upper part of the stadium. So they said, no, please come right down here.
Meanwhile, you and I paid like $100 each for our tickets, and we were, you know, we still had good seats, but we were right on Linda's side.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we were. Good. Rest in peace, Linda. But yeah, you couldn't carry a tune if they provided you with a dump truck
or handles.
Yeah.
And someone to carry it for you. No. Yeah. So that song those are my three no Christmas tunes. I will tell you one of my favorite. This is just all over the place. You know why? Because we have seven news stories this week. It was a very slow week in paranormal news.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one of my favorite stories, right? When Damien, my youngest, was born, we were settling in for the night, and Linus, so cute little Linus, was laying on the floor next to the bed and all cuddled in because he loved being around his little baby brother. And little baby brother was laying on his bed was laying on our bed with me and his mom, right? And I think Pacey was in the room as well, and she was on the other side of the bed laying down, and Ripley was in her crib, and we were all settling in for the night, and my kids like when I sing to them, right? So I have a couple of go-to songs. I have this really sweet song called Pillow Time that I've sang to every one of my kids, and now they're singing to their kids, right?
Aww.
And it breaks my heart in a good way to see the way even my grandchildren respond to the song. and then I go to my next go-to, which, of course, is King of the Road.
Okay.
It's a very soothing kid song, you know, whether you know it or not. It's just got a great slow beat.
King of the Road is?
Yeah, it really is. Huh. Well, the way I sing it, you know.
Okay.
You like a little bit of it?
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
Silent
That would not put me to sleep. That would force me to run to the closet and grab my shotgun.
I sing Pillow Time.
Okay.
Because you come out, every good musician will tell you, come out with a song everybody loves.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And then you go to a classic standard, which of course is my King of the Road. Uh-huh. And then, you know, my wheelhouse is really three songs. Then it's Elvis Presley. And now I can't think of the name of the song.
Are You Lonesome Tonight?
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
Are You Lonesome Tonight, right? Because that's a nice, slow, soothing song. And I got done. And
do you still do you don't do the dirty version you did in college, did you?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good. All right. That would be
I clean it up for the kids.
Good. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So we get done and the baby's still fussing and I go, I don't know. And Pacey says, Daddy, sing one more song. I go, I can't think of another song. And Linus goes, I know a good one, Dad. And I go, okay, what is it? And we're trying to calm everything down. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, from the side of the bed, you hear this cute little chipper voice go, Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! And everybody jumps and startles, and the baby starts falling. Feliz Navidad! The clap is what really kind of took us all. But it was just so cute. And he's got he looked like Opie. Remember when he was a little boy?
Had
blazing red hair, freckles, and big eyes. He looked like Opie from the Andy Griffith Show. We all burst into laughter. So that's one of my favorite memories of that song. So that will always go down. Whenever we hear that, we all get a big smile.
Nothing says drifting off into dreamland like Jose Feliciano.
Oh, God. You know what? I guess if you want kids to go to sleep, you could try playing Stevie Nicks' Silent Night, because the kids will force themselves into a coma state in order to avoid hearing the rest of the song.
All is coming out.
All right. Sure, we have some supernatural news to cover. Remember, call in Voices from Beyond voicemail 651-300-4977. Or if you have the wherewithal, you can actually sit down with a recording device and record your story and then just email it to Tim and I at dave@darknessradio.com. Why don't we start off with that? Since this gentleman went to all of this work, Tim.
Sure.
Benjamin, he says, hey, Dave and Tim, I've been listening to you guys for years. I still think of Dave as Batman. If you don't know, don't ask. I remember I used to do the Sasquatch voice was kind of Batman back in the day before everything turned to Rolf the dog.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
He said, here's my story. I recorded it through a memo because I'm not good with phone calls. Please listen to it because you won't regret it. It happened right here. And near Camp David, it says, I think. I'm sorry, it's very sporadic the way it's written here. Let me know when you do listen. It was an incredible experience up close and personal with a craft not of this world. Love you guys. And this is Benjamin and his story.
It was 2005. I had to get a job through school for work study so I could skip a few periods. A friend of mine said, hey, come work at Wendy's. It'd be great for you. So I said, hell yeah. I'd love to. So one night, my friend, who was the manager at the time, his name was Pat. We had to work real late and close. We lived in Thurmont, Maryland. Usually, Friday night, we close up about 2 a.m. And we get out about 2:45. Patrick lived about 25 minutes from Wendy's at the time, up in the mountains, deep in the mountains. After work, we hopped in his RAV4 and started driving. We made it up half of the mountain. We're laughing, listening to music like we both did. We're both musicians. Having a good time, like two friends do, close friends do. We hit a stop sign in the mountain and crest over a hill. We both knew what to expect. There's a elementary school on the left-hand side of the mountain. And to the right, there's a orchard. But after we crest over that hill, it would be something we both would never forget. The first thing I saw coming over that hill was a white Expedition parked at the end of the elementary school drive. The name of the school was Sibilisville Elementary. It was parked at the very end, pointing out with its high beams on. And that was strange to me, being it was 3:30 in the morning. 3:30 in the morning. But that wasn't the strangest thing to me. When we both looked over the hood of that Expedition, looking at the illuminated skull, there was a ship hovering above the school, bigger than I've ever seen, shining its lights on the school, about 300 feet up, hanging in quietness. And I remember this because the first thing I did after Patrick and I hung our mouths open was I rolled down the window. I heard nothing. There was nothing to hear. It was quietness. All I heard was Patrick's RAV4 driving 20 miles an hour on a back road past this school. A huge ship in the sky, illuminating a small elementary school with a huge mountain behind it. We were surrounded by mountains. We were both speechless. By this time, the music was turned off, and all I could hear was my heart, and I swear I could hear Patrick's heart beating. It was offbeat. Our hearts weren't in sync at the time. As soon as I felt that, there was a light behind us. That Ford Expedition was following us with its high beams on. And it was getting close. By the time we started going up the mountain, I saw that ship or UFO shoot up 300 meters or more. And I saw it shoot over the mountain. Patrick and I both had our windows open at the time. It was not making one sound. Not one sound. I did not hear it. I heard our car, and I heard the car behind us. I never heard that ship, which I should have. There is not any technology in this world that can do that quick and make a ship launch off the ground and over a mountain in that time. It's physically impossible. But it did, and I watched it, and so did Patrick. By this time, we're 10 minutes from Pat's house. And now there's two cars behind us. I knew the one was an Expedition, a white one, with government plates following us. The other one, I wasn't sure, because it was behind the other Expedition. We keep turning. We take a left. It takes a left. Both cars. We take a right. Both cars take a right. We have two vehicles following us. We finally make it back to Pat's house. We take a right into Pat's house, and we are scared shitless that these cars are going to follow us into his house. When we finally make it to his house, both cars, and they were both white Expeditions, drive by. They drive by. We park. Still hearing our heartbeats, sat for a few minutes, trying to gather what just happened and what we saw. And we sat out on the porch. Pat went inside for a second, and he grabbed a shotgun. And we sat on that porch until 8 a.m., until we both went to sleep, thinking someone's going to come back, terrified. So that night, we both went to sleep. But that wasn't even the weirdest part. When we woke up, it was like nothing happened. We didn't talk about it. We didn't stress over it. We didn't ask each other questions. We just went on like it was our normal thing. It wasn't until years later that I told my wife about it. And she said, no, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. You're crazy. I'm like, yeah, you know, you've always thought I was crazy, but really, you don't believe me? She was like, no, of course not. Okay. Let's see if Pat remembers. And so we got invited to, a shindig with my friend Pat. And it's been years at this time. It was years before we got to talk about it. And she went up and asked him, hey, Pat, do you remember when you and Ben saw a UFO? And he said, oh, my God, I did not think he remembered. Yes, and I'll tell you all about it. And he spoke to her the same story that I'm telling you now, down to the T, everything was the same. So I don't know what happened that day. I don't know why we forgot everything after that. I'm not sure. Like, I've seen Men in Black. I know, you know, they had the laser, you know, forgetter things. I'm not sure if that's what it was, but I know we saw something that day, and it terrified both of us. But then after, we forgot for a long time, and we both remembered now, years and years later. Now it's, you know, it's, I started talking about it back when it was probably 2014. So I've been talking about it for a good 6 years now. But we forgot for a good 10 years what had happened. We didn't talk about it. I don't know what happened, but, you know, that's my story.
Very cool, Benjamin. Thank you for recording that and sending it on to us. We appreciate that. See, it's just that simple, folks. Well, how do you record it? You probably have a voice memo on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can record it, then you can send it to us. So that's one way to do it. Or you could just pick up the phone, which we've made it even easier. 651-300-4977 is the phone number to call. All right, it is Supernatural News, Parish Share Saturday. So, Timothy, David, Dennis, where shall we begin this week's strange news?
You know, if you keep doing that, someone's going to steal my identity.
Only if I gave your social of 358-47. I'm just saying that if I gave that number, then
don't do that.
Then people would have no.
No, no.
Okay. All right, fine. I see how you are.
Wow.
Well, besides, by now, have people not figured out that Timothy David Dennis is not even your natural born name?
Probably not. No.
Yeah, that's just his stage name. That's the name he chose, folks. That is not his real name.
Yeah, it's Abramowitz.
Huh? Binky Abramowitz.
Yeah.
But I will give this. It's Binky David Abramowitz. So, yeah, we've got it all out there now. All right, where are we going to go?
Well, Dave, we're going to India, where it turns out that a 63-year-old woman who was born with 19 toes and 12 fingers reveals that she can't leave her house because her neighbors think she's a witch. I think she's probably just the world's most talented massage therapist.
Ooh, yeah, and she could probably play the accordion like nobody's business.
I'm telling you. I mean,
watch out, Weird Al.
With all those extra digits, he could probably play the accordion, the guitar, and give an amazing massage on top of it.
Wow.
Look, I'm just saying.
Thinking. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You want her to massage you with her 12 fingers or her 19 toes?
Let's go fingers, Dave. Toes is just
you sure?
Yeah.
All right.
Save the toes for the accordion.
Gotcha.
Yeah. An Indian woman who was born with 19 toes and 12 fingers has revealed her cruel neighbors think she's a witch. 63-year-old Kumar Nayak was born with the abnormality polydactyly, a genetic birth defect that's caused her to have the extra digits. She barely leaves her house in Ganjam, Odisha, but because strangers have abused her for her abnormality, this according to local reports. Ideally, she would have had treatment years ago, but her family have never had the money. Instead, Ms. Nayak has learnt to live with the nasty comments and said she normally stays indoors to avoid it. Sorry, I'm being thrown off because I'm looking at the pictures. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen...
That's a lot of toe. It's hard to find gloves for her at Christmas, Tim.
Boy, I'll say. I don't know
how... Woman with 12 fingers.
I'm just thinking, Christmas. Like, you know, with my Charcot foot, like my Charcot foot is broken in like hundreds of places, so my foot's a little deformed. I've never seen a foot that deformed ever. I'm just saying.
I think it's perfect. Why do you call her foot deformed, Tim?
Well, I mean, it's...
The Lord obviously wanted to make it easier for her to count to higher numbers than the rest of us. The God-given gift is what it is.
I guess. Huh. Polydactyly affects around 1 in 700 to 1,000 births worldwide, and Ms. Nayak has an extreme case. Extra digits can range from a nubbin to a complete working finger or toe. Ms. Nyack said, I was born with this defect and I couldn't be treated as we belong to a poor family. It has been 63 years and I have been in the condition I am today. The residents nearby believe that I am a witch and keep away from me. But sometimes more visitors come to see my condition. I am forced to stay indoors as I am treated differently. One neighbor who is more sympathetic added, I know she has a medical problem and it has nothing to do with what others believe her to be. I feel so sorry for her that she cannot even afford to get herself treated. Surgery for polydactyly depends on each individual, but is recommended between the age of 1 and 6 years old. Last month, a Chinese man who was 21 years old, born with 9 toes on his left foot, had life-changing surgery to remove the 4 extra toes on his left foot. Known as Ajun, he spent his childhood avoiding any social interaction and was made to feel worthless and imperfect, this according to local reports. However, Ajun's superstitious parents did not want him to have the toes removed because a fortune teller told him they were a good omen. But Ajun resisted and sought medical help. He said his feet are perfect since doctors operated to rid him of the extra toes. What is polydactyly exactly? Well, polydactyly is a birth defect that occurs when a person is born with extra fingers or toes. It affects around 1 in every 700 to 1,000 births worldwide. During the 6th or 7th week of pregnancy, a fetus has paddle hands and feet divide into fingers and toes. The polydactyly occurs when the paddle splits too many times. The extra digits can range from a nubbin to a complete working finger or toe. Most of the time, the finger or toe is smaller than the other digits and poorly formed. If fully formed, it will contain all the normal bone and blood vessels and nerves. Polydactyly is thought to occur randomly, but may have a genetic element or be linked to an underlying condition. The condition is usually spotted on an ultrasound scan. Surgery to remove the extra digits usually occurs when a child is 1 or 2 years old. This should leave them with a hand or foot that functions and looks as normal. It's kind of interesting, Dave, that I don't know, even, I mean, I realize that in India, it'd be easy to mistake a condition like that for, you know, something supernatural. But you would think by now, with knowledge the way it is around the world, that she wouldn't be chastised for something like that.
And, you know, just send love to these people around the world, folks, and support for our individualism and things that make us different from one another. Can we start to just embrace it? Listen, any jackass can love something beautiful. It really takes someone with a special heart to be able to look at people and things that are different and appreciate them for the magical qualities of what they are. These are the unicorns living amongst us. And instead of shaming them or making them feel bad, why can't you just appreciate and love the individuality of each one of these people? It breaks my heart to hear that people are being treated so poorly for things that they had no control over. You know, if you alter your appearance to look one way, it shouldn't matter anyway, but I could see more people being like, why the hell would you do that? But if somebody's born special, why? Just show kindness. What's wrong with the heart of others that they look upon somebody with a difference and instead of seeing a miraculous human being alive and living and deserving of all the love that they should get and finding them a person to ridicule and scoff at? Yeah. So just send prayers and healing to all those people around the world, folks. That's all I can ask, is that they get the love that they have been denied all these years.
I'm just looking at her feet in the, I mean, I don't mean to belabor the point, but it's her feet. You know, normally you have an arch to your feet, and her feet are not only flat, but they're bulging outward, like they're convex. And that's got to be incredibly painful to walk on. When they bow out the opposite way, it's incredibly painful. So again, our thoughts go out to her. It's got to be a painful condition.
I got a really sweet little email here, Tim. Not really a story, but I wanted to share it, and I hope Christy doesn't mind. I won't give Lenny last names. She sent me a video of the Manamana song from Sesame Street, the original.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, we thought this was cool, then thought of you because my husband loves your show, and he sings, do-do-do-do-do, after anyone says the word phenomenon. P.S. My husband, just 44 years old, had a life-altering stroke recently. In the ICU, I played Darkness Radio to try to bring him back to our world and give his ears something familiar. Mm-hmm. And loved to hear when he seemed to be retreating away from us. And now, 3 months later, you guys are a source of enjoyment in a world where he feels so much loss. So thank you. And she sent some lovely pictures of her and her husband. And Christy, just surround your husband with love and light and let him know that we appreciate him and we are here and we will continue to do what we do and be ridiculous and idiots. And we're glad that if it brings peace and joy to anybody, that it's working. So our love and thoughts are out with you, my friend. Stay strong. You will get through this. We will get through this. We'll be here for you every week.
Absolutely.
All right. Damn it, Tim. Stupid. Now my heart's growing 3 times the size, and I wasn't prepared for it.
See, now we can
skills. Oh.
We can listen to Stevie Nicks' Christmas song now.
No. Oh. No.
Oh. Okay. Sorry. Oh, what if she does a version of that?
Yeah, that would be horrible. Horrible.
It would be?
Yes.
Oh.
All right. Happy Christmas, Christy and husband. Thank you very much for listening and being listeners to our show and sharing your story and bringing a choked up moment to your old pal, Darkness Dave and Tim. We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. All right, Timothy, where are we going next?
90 Day Fiancé, that's where we're going. Mike explains how he believes in aliens rather than religion, and why not?
Sure, I'm all for it. Makes more sense.
Sure, I guess. We're talking about Mike and Natalie, and evidently Mike's definitely over the honeymoon phase of their relationship because now he's believed in aliens. I guess that's what marriage does to you. 90 Day Fiancé couple Mike and Natalie were definitely over their honeymoon phase in their relationship on Sunday's new episode of their hit TLC show and started facing serious issues in their relationship. Mike, who hails...
It's hard to believe that a relationship predicated on 90 days...
Yeah, I know, right?
...could actually find some issues, Tim.
They hit the wall, Dave. They've come across some serious barriers here to their relationship. Mike, who hails from Washington, visited his fiance Natalie in her native Ukraine. Oh, I think we've hit the stumbling block already. Since they've been having trouble getting her K-1 visa approved during their trip, Natalie bluntly presses 34-year-old Mike on the issue of having children. Natalie, who is 35, wants to start having children immediately. Well, Mike wants to wait. Probably wants to get to know her a little better, maybe. Mike told TLC cameras in last week's episode that a major reason he wanted to wait to have children is because he is in substantial debt, which he actually hasn't told Natalie about yet. Oh, there's all kinds of fun surprises on this show, isn't there?
Well, at least he's, you know, hey, God love him.
Yeah.
Show the man some respect to say, hey, hold on a minute. Let's just wait.
Yeah.
I got debt to pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so let's hurry up and pay off our debt so we can have a baby and be in debt for the rest of our lives.
Exactly. Right.
Sorry, the bitterness is coming back.
Is it? We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you I'm just trying to get you back. Aside from the issue of having kids, Mike often notes how different he and Natalie are. And another issue came up when the couple has dinner with Natalie's good friend, Svetlana. Whenever I hear the name Svetlana, I just think of The Sopranos, you know, the cleaning lady with...
Oh, yeah, the Russian cleaning lady without a leg?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Svetlana notes that Natalie is very religious, and Mike says he is not. But Mike not only says he isn't religious, but he expresses his own beliefs to a mortified Natalie. Mike says that rather than a god, he believes in a higher civilization, specifically aliens. Oh, this is a good one to pop out over dinner. I think aliens are gods, Mike says. I think gods are misinterpretations of what people have seen back in the day. F yeah, I believe in aliens, is the quote. Good one, Mike. Good one. Svetlana is clearly bewildered by Mike's comments, and Natalie looks more annoyed than embarrassed. But Mike does note that he supports Natalie in whatever she wants to believe and would never discourage her from practicing religion. Later in the episode, tension between Mike and Natalie gets worse when she takes him for a run, and he asks her if this is something her and her ex-husband like to do together. Natalie is majorly upset that Mike asked her about her ex-husband, whom she tells TLC cameras she left because he didn't want to have children. Mike apologizes, but does note that he is surprised that she seems so upset about her ex-husband because both he and Natalie went through their respective divorces over 2 years ago. Yikes. 90 Day Fiancé, if you'd like to continue to follow this fiasco, airs Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern on TLC.
So let me ask you something, Tim.
Yeah.
90 days.
Yeah.
90 days. If I said, Tim, finally you get a TV show, Tim Dennis, okay. I'm going to put you on the air.
Yeah.
And you're going to be engaged to a woman for 90 days and get married. The culmination of the show is you're going to be married after 90 days of knowing somebody. Could I sign you up for that show? Would you sign on, do you think?
No. No. Mm-mm.
What if it was 95 days, Tim?
Oh, well, the extra 5 days, why not?
Yeah, that could be the big difference. Yeah.
No. Mm-mm.
All right, let me just, dear Katrina Weidman, I'm sorry.
Oh,
Tim's
no,
not
no, no, if it's Katrina, well, yeah, I'll sign on if it's
Thank
Katrina.
You. Please feel free to just move on and find the love of your life because
it was
Tim
Katrina.
Is apparently not the man for
no,
you.
No,
he
Dave's,
doesn't have patience to give you 90
why
days.
Didn't you?
Lovingly yours.
No, you didn't tell me.
Send.
No.
What? I'm sorry. Were you? I put the headphones down while I was typing that letter. Was there something
Dave,
going on there?
You didn't say it was Katrina.
Well, I didn't think I needed to. I just, you know, the fact is, it was just I was asking if you'd even be willing to do a show, but you were pretty clear that
no,
that would...
you didn't say who the co-star was.
Oh, was that an important aspect?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, you didn't say it was Katrina or Janet Jackson or, you got to specify here. There's got to be more details to the contract.
Okay. Now, this email I've got, Tim, very nice little email. One of our listeners who's been following along and watching the Holzer Files.
Oh, okay.
Writes in, he said, just viewed the Whaley House episode, loving all the episodes, in particular, the historical perspectives. Just wanting to share, several years ago, we took the midnight trolley ghost tour. We had just finished visiting the graveyard. This is in San Diego, Tim, where the Whaley House is.
Yeah.
We visited that graveyard in that episode. Anyway, he says, we had just finished visiting the graveyard and we were heading to the Whaley House. We were a group of maybe 8 to 10 people. I was the last person to go up the steps. As I was entering the porch into the threshold of the home, I felt, it was as if something went absolutely through me, front to back. It took my breath away. I got disoriented, nauseous, weak, and had to turn around and sit on the top of the steps for several minutes. My daughter was in front of me and noticed nothing. The rest of the tour was uneventful. Being a ghost hunter here in Washington, I was actually sort of thrilled at the experience. Anyway, just never told anyone about it before. I love your program. That comes from Kip Johnson. That sounds like a sports commentator, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Now let's take a look at this sports with Kip Johnson. Hey, guys, it looks like the Bears are in for an amazing end to their season.
God, I hope not.
I know, that's the way it looks. But anyway, yeah, so thank you, Kip. We only have one episode left. Can you believe it, Tim?
I can't.
There's only one episode left of the Holzer Files. We wrap up at the Barnstable House in Massachusetts, and I believe we may have saved the best for last. This was a really interesting multi-layered story, and I know I said that about a lot of these episodes, but that's what I love about them. They weren't just a straight-up ghost story. This one has got so many weird twists and turns, and we get some unbelievable evidence. I mean, during just the walkthrough, when Cindy and Shane were doing their bit, I was having some really uncomfortable moments in my station. My camera guy and sound guy and I were like really unnerved. It was a really interesting story, a great location, and the people involved in the story are remarkable. I think people are going to love this. I'm glad we're going out with a bang. This is our final episode of season one. I haven't heard officially anything on a season two yet, folks. I'm guessing there might be something. We've done really well in the ratings, so just keep your fingers crossed. Thank you to all of you who have tuned in and kept watching along on the program. I'd love to hear from you. And actually, I'm working on a little side venture here that might bring you some more insights to those episodes. So keep tuned to this program for an update on that, and we'll let you know as we hear more. All right, Tim, where are we going next with Supernatural news?
I don't know if you heard about this deal or not, Dave, but this is kind of bizarre. There's a Michael Jackson musical being talked about out there about his glove. It's bizarre, but there was rumors that Johnny Depp was involved in this whole deal. But he says he's not. Let me get more into this because it's just a bizarre story. I'd heard about it earlier in the week, and I kind of had my mouth agape at the whole deal. The musical will blame the singer's sex abuse allegations on a glove that feeds on virgin boy blood.
What?
Yeah.
So his glove is an alien intruder that feeds on virgin boy blood?
Something like that, yeah.
Somebody is backing this musical play?
Yeah. This is a real deal. Real deal Holyfield. A representative for Johnny Depp says that neither he nor his production company are involved in the making of an upcoming Michael Jackson musical about his glove. It was reported that Depp was producing a new musical about the life of Michael Jackson as told from the point of view of his glove. I can't believe this is a real story. It is, by the way, folks. It has been reported everywhere. The musical will be based on the play For the Love of the Glove, an unauthorized musical fable about the life of Michael Jackson as told by his glove, which has been written by Julian Nitzberg. It will debut in L.A. next January. For the Love of a Glove tells the story of what happens after a group of aliens shaped like bedazzled gloves crash land in Jackson's hometown of Gary, Indiana.
Wait, what?
Yes.
An entire troop of alien gloves. Bedazzled gloves.
Bedazzled gloves, Dave. You can't make it up. You just...
What the... Who's smoking what, and how the hell can I get a puff?
This is better than the medical stuff, Dave. It really is. So the group of aliens shaped like bedazzled gloves crash land in Jackson's hometown of Gary, Indiana. It turns out that the glove can give people magical musical talent if it drinks their blood and has part of their body inside of it, Nitzberg told The Hollywood Reporter.
Wasn't that your pickup line to become friends with me? I can make you famous if you let me drink your blood and be inside you, Dave.
I'm surprised that you fell for it.
I was looking for fame. No. It only took 30 years to get near fame.
I got a lot of blood and got inside you quite a bit,
if you know what I mean.
Huh? What? Anyways.
He means in my heart, folks.
Yes.
In my heart.
In your heart, yeah. Nitzberg also told The Hollywood Reporter, but it can only feed on virgin boy blood. That's the trick. That's the MacGuffin, if you will. One alien glove attaches itself to a young Michael Jackson, who eventually learns that he can't feed all five alien gloves himself. There's more than one, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Well, they usually come in pairs, Tim.
Why are there only five, though, Dave?
I don't want to ask, Tim. I don't want to ask. Maybe this is a musical about being the individual that we talked about earlier. Four were born together, one on his own, and he's seeking the love of his life, which turns out to be Michael Jackson. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
One alien glove attaches itself to a young Michael Jackson, who eventually learns that he can't feed all five alien gloves himself, so he starts bringing boys home. Huh. Earlier reports claim that Johnny Depp's production company, Infinitum Nihil, I believe, was involved in the project, but were subsequently corrected when it turned out that that wasn't the case. An earlier version of the story listed Johnny Depp and his production company, producers of For the Love of a Glove. It reads an addendum in The Hollywood Reporter's report on the project. There's currently a dispute over credits, and a rep for Depp says that he and his company are not producing and not involved in any way. The Billie Jean singer's nephew, Taj Jackson, took to Twitter to call out media outlets for running the story without confirming the facts first. Taj went on his Twitter to say, so the media didn't vet the story and just ran with it. So typical. And the lie traveled around the world and was shared by many. Not surprising. Waiting for those same outlets and people to update their stories. Recently, it was reported that Bohemian Rhapsody producer Graham King had secured the rights to make a film about Michael Jackson's life. That's according to Deadline, which reports that sources have confirmed that King has been given the green light by the late singer's estate. King, who owns the production company GK Films, has reportedly retained three-time Oscar-nominated writer John Logan to write the script. Deadline's Mike Fleming Jr. Added that the movie isn't intended to be a sanitized rendering of Jackson's life. The biopic is said to span the pop star's entire life, from child star in the Jackson 5 to his death in June of 2009. It's said that the film will also address Jackson's defense against allegations of child sexual abuse, allegations of which were made in HBO's 2019 Leaving Neverland documentary, in which the Jackson family estate have always strenuously denied. Additionally, Deadline reports that Logan, nominated in the past for Academy Awards for The Aviator, Hugo, and Gladiator, will shape the script with King before setting it at a studio. So, Johnny Depp not involved, Dave, in the For the Love of a Glove.
He's keeping gloves off on this one, huh?
I guess so, yes. He won't be getting intimate with the glove.
For the Love of Glove. What a weird concept.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here, I'll give them this. At least they're coming up with something unique and different. And it's not just a reboot of Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street stuff. We're getting something new. Although I will tell you this. Have you seen the, I think it's Infinity, little mini movie of E.T. Returns?
The Xfinity thing with
Xfinity. That's it. Yeah. Henry Thomas reprising his role as little Elliot.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. I here's my thought. You remember a few years back when Ryan Reynolds leaked that footage, like that 5-minute scene of a test deal they did of doing a Deadpool movie, and it exploded, and that ended up getting all the attention, and they ended up funding a movie of Deadpool.
Yep.
I'm betting this is kind of their dipping the toe in the water to see if people would respond fondly or would they be put off by it. And I'm guessing because of the overall schmaltz and kitsch value and love for that original movie, they did this little vignette movie so beautifully. I would be surprised if in 2 years we don't see a sequel, an official sequel.
You know, I think you're right. I think it is kind of testing the water to see if E.T. has some nostalgia value to it and if people want to see it again. I think it is a kind of a test to see if that's what people really want. And I think if that's what people really want, I think that's exactly what we're going to get. I think we're going to probably get a sequel to E.T. The adult years. Does that sound right? With Elliot's kids.
Drew Barrymore is dancing at a club, and I don't know. It'll be great to see. I said that only because you said it's the adult version. I'd love to see a sequel, especially after watching that little mini movie.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we off to next?
A hypnotherapist is charged with having sex with a patient. Surprise, surprise, Dave. We go to Florida. Oh, this feels like Dumb Crime, Stupid Criminals all over again on the Saturday edition. A Florida hypnotherapist was arrested for having sex with a client whom he kissed abruptly during a session, police said. Robert Andrew Nichols, 63, whose website bills him as a psychologist and paranormal phenomena investigator. I said phenomena, Dave.
Do, 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 do.
Phenomena.
Do, 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 do.
Phenomena.
Yeah.
Wow, you went jazz hands at the end.
I did. I gave you a little snap and a yeah.
Wow, very nice.
For all of our listeners that wanted me to spice it up a bit.
I see.
I'm not afraid to sexy up for the listeners.
That was very nice. Robert Andrew Nichols was arrested Wednesday on a charge of being a psychotherapist engaging in sex with a client or former client, which is illegal in the Sunshine State. You would think it wouldn't be, but it is. I mean, Florida, anything goes. A woman who said she met Nichols during an adult education course at Santa Fe College in Gainesville told police in June of 2018 that he started asking intimate questions about her sex life after starting therapy sessions with him. This according to an affidavit. 2 months later, Nichols kissed the woman on the lips out of the blue during a session. Nichols then asked the woman to go to his home where they had sex. He stopped charging her for his services at that point. This according to the affidavit. Nichols and the woman continued to have sex and practice ritual magic because why not? Activities he claimed would benefit her mental health. But the relationship eventually fizzled out and the woman asked Nichols for a refund. Because why not?
On a relationship? Boy, do I have a lot of money coming if that's a possibility.
Yeah, you do.
I'm glad you agree.
You have a lot of money coming.
What?
I'm just saying. A detective in Gainesville interviewed Nichols in March, but he refused to say whether the relationship was sexual. This according to police. A message seeking comment from Nichols was not immediately returned. An out-of-date website from 2015 enlisted him as a member of the American Psychological Association, but a spokesman from the organization confirmed to the Post that he was not a current member. Nichols worked as a part-time instructor for non-credit recreational courses at Santa Fe College, including metaphysics and parapsychology, as well as classes on ghost hunting, witchcraft, and voodoo. At no time was he a professor who taught college courses, the statement said. Santa Fe College does not tolerate harassment, abuse, or violation of professional ethics of any kind. As soon as the college learned of Nichols' arrest, steps were taken to ensure that he was not currently teaching, nor known to be on our campus. Nichols has also appeared on several television and radio programs to speak on paranormal topics, including Unsolved Mysteries and CBS's 48 Hours, this according to his website.
So he kissed her. All right, that was not a great plan as a therapist, but mm-hmm. then he stopped being her therapist so that they could collectively follow a relationship.
Yeah.
To which they then had a long-standing relationship, and then when it went south, she decided at that point it was time to sue.
And get a refund, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's weird. Why don't people just take responsibility? I'm throwing it out there. If you're going to play, why does someone have to pay, Tim? Huh? I'm the Johnny Cochran of my...
I see where you're going there, yeah. If the glove does not fit, you must acquit. Yeah. You know, you bring up a good point, because once they get to the... It's when it got freaky with the ritual magic that she decided she was out, is what it looks like.
What a prude.
It was all good until he said, hey, you want to draw a circle on the floor and do some weird stuff?
What the hell, people? Why are they so like that? I just don't get it.
Yeah. At that point, she was like, nope, I'm out. Let's get a refund. And he went, whoa, wait a minute. I haven't been charging you. And she said, but I'm charging you. Yeah, I don't know. This story took a weird turn, like right at the ritual magic part.
Yeah, that's the part. All right, where are we off to next?
Sightings in haunted South Derbyshire Street. That's the headline on this one. We're going overseas, where there have been many controversial sightings and tales of ghostly goings on in the Burton and South Derbyshire area. Many have been left unnerved and some even terrified by what they say has happened to them. And one thing is for sure, those who say they have had a paranormal experience truly believe it. It comes as residents and former residents of Regent Street and Church Gressley have been telling their tales of spooky goings-on in their homes, making the street one of the most haunted in the area. Former resident 19-year-old Amy Peace said she was only a young child when she lived in Regent Street. She told how, "I feel that younger people see more things. I often saw a woman in a long white dress around the stairs, and I even saw a man in my bedroom. My mom is psychic, and she had a lot of experiences in this house," she went on to say. Her mom, Vicki Whittam, said, it was a pretty nice house to live in, but my daughters were only very young at the time and always talked about a man who walked across their room. My eldest saw a lady in a long dress and just stood at the top of the stairs. Our cat was very unsettled and stared at things that weren't there. But it was one particular event that was the final straw for Vicky. The scariest thing for me was a night I couldn't sleep and I was reading, she said. I shut my eyes for a second, opened them, and there was a grinning man's face right up close to mine. I screamed the place down, she went on to say. Richard Banton said he lived in a flat in Regent Street between 2010 and 2012. He said we had numerous things happen. One of the first involved a kitten.
Sorry about that.
Sure,
all of a sudden, I'm choking up here. Go ahead.
That's okay. It's the Regent Street thing. I understand. It's very, very choking. I don't know. He said we had numerous things happen. One of the first involved a kitten we had. I walked into a bedroom and my cat was staring into the corner, back all curved up, and he was frozen with fear. It took a good few minutes to calm him down. But the problems with the cat were just the start, he said. We heard a few, we had heard footsteps many times in the hallway, he said. Kitchen drawers being open and closed on at least 5 occasions. A washing machine door being violently slammed shut around 3 times. The scariest one, though, was when me and the wife were in bed. It started with footsteps in the hallway. Then you could feel a presence had entered the bedroom. The temperature dropped cold. Then suddenly there was this electrical energy sound swirling around the room very, very fast for around 30 seconds. My wife grabbed hold of me in fear. Just as the sound started to die down, there was some bangs. And then suddenly, no joke, there was a witch's cackle, almost like a classic one that you would hear on a TV show. Then it suddenly went quiet, and it was a very, very scary experience. He also said he had a number of things go missing during his brief stay at that flat, but none more strange than his driving license. One time, the item that went missing was my driving license, which was also in my wallet, or was always in my wallet, rather, he said. I searched and searched for it, and it was nowhere to be found, so I ordered a new one online. But what was strange about all this was the following evening, after I ordered the new one, I had had a very vivid dream. Someone took me into my living room and pointed at the display unit that's in there and said, "You will find what you're looking for behind the glass display top and the bottom wooden cupboard." When I awoke in the morning, I went straight to the display unit. I had to unscrew the top unit off the bottom, and there was my driver's license. I tested how it could have got between the two parts, and it was only possible if you push on the top unit back towards the wall, then slide the card in between, which is very odd. Tired of the ghostly goings-on, Richard said he bought a radio that automatically scanned through different frequencies to try and communicate with the spirits. He said, on this one night, I got my name said 5 times, my partner's name, her brother's name, and all 3 of my cat's names. One of my cat's names we call Peefus. That's an odd name. That was very shocking.
Well,
but
it is if you don't like the name Peefus, I guess.
I guess. That was very shocking but exciting at the same time, and never again did we ever get a response on the radio. After we moved, that was it. Nothing else happened to us, so I'm 100% sure something was happening there. After that, I could hear a kazoo being played for about 3 nights in my room. I eventually shouted to shut up, and immediately it stopped, never to be heard again. I only stayed about 10 months. Another resident, Julie Roberts, said she too had moved out of her house on the street after hearing noises coming from her loft. She said, "I had the spookiest loft. It'd been made into like a kiddie's room, all painted up, but there was no ladders to get up there, and there was always strange noises coming from up there." Deb Harrison, on the other hand, said she had lived on the street for 20 years. She said, "I do get doors opening and closing quite a lot, but I never know it's just a breeze coming through. My niece heard a little girl in my lounge as she was waking up one night when she stayed over. A friend's partner has also seen a little girl stood at the bottom of the bed, so it seems like I have a little girl in my house."
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got more to share when we return right here to beyond the darkness.
Have you guys had a chance to check out Spike's Car Radio? If not, you need to check it out and catch up on some of his awesome interviews. In the past few weeks, Spike has talked with Matt Damon and Christian Bale from Ford vs. Ferrari, Kim Coates and William Fichtner. So head on over to Spike's feed and take a listen. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe to Spike's Car Radio so you can get new episodes every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Beyond the Darkness.
We're back. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. You're listening to Beyond the Darkness. Now, we want to hear from you folks, and we want you to share your paranormal encounters with us. Scary, funny, heartwarming, weird, bizarre. We want to hear them all. Ghosts, Bigfoot, demons, angels, whatever you've got. Give us a call. 651-300-4977. 651-300-4977. That's the number to call, just like this caller did.
Hi, Tim and Dave. Thanks for playing my story again. So this is the third ghost story that I have. This is Mary, calling from Massachusetts. I'm the overachiever. And, this is the third really good one I have. My husband and I got married 2 years ago, and we live in a part of Massachusetts that is super spooky, and I think I kind of grew up with this stuff, and it made me so used to it, and I've always been able to go into a house, and I either feel comfortable or I don't. I can look at a house from the outside and tell you if I want to go in it or not, and I had a friend growing up who had a house in Nantucket that was in town, like in the town, a very, very old house that was known to be haunted. And I didn't know about the known haunting of the house until I was older, but I just remember going there as a kid, and I never, ever, ever could sleep at night in this house when I was like 9, 10. And then I grew up and realized people wrote books about the ghost stories in that house. So I definitely have always felt things. When my husband and I got married 2 years ago, we booked a room in Concord, Massachusetts, where he grew up, and we had our wedding there. And I had been at the Colonial Inn many times as a kid, but never had stayed overnight because we lived nearby. And so I booked a room for us to stay there, but I had intentionally booked the least expensive room because I know that the haunted room is actually the most expensive room to stay in at the hotel. So I had intentionally booked a less expensive room because I did not want to sleep in the older part of the hotel. So then about a couple of days, like Wednesday before the wedding, I was calling to confirm things and make sure everything was in order. And when I was chatting on the phone with the person who answered the phone at the Colonial Inn, I happened to mention in passing that, you know, I'm just checking because it's our wedding night and I want to make sure everything's okay. So I didn't ask for anything special, but when we got there and it was like 1 a.m. and we had had many drinks and gotten dropped off, and they said, oh, we upgraded you to the nicest room in the hotel. And it's the haunted room. So they walked us right up there with all of our stuff, and we knew where we were, and we were laughing, and we went on YouTube and watched the episode of Ghost Hunters where they went into that room, and my husband was laughing, and we watched the little thing, and I went to sleep, and I think I was so tired and whatever. We actually slept pretty much through the night and there didn't notice anything. Some of the paintings on the walls in there are weird, but we got up the next day, you know, and moved on. Went down to Cape Cod for like 3 days, just a little mini moon type of thing. So then we stayed at the first night in Cape Cod, we stayed at a hotel that was not a interesting in terms of paranormal hotel. We slept really hard. It was great. Got a lot of rest and kind of recharged. And then we moved on to the second place that I had booked. And then my husband started laughing because he was like, "You brought me on Haunted Hyman." He said, what's the next name of the next place?" I said, "It's a B&B. It's an old Victorian mansion, blah, blah." And here I am, the one who is the sensitive person, but I hadn't even looked up or looked into any of that. And from that perspective, I was just looking for a nice place to stay. So the B&B we were staying at, on the second night, or no, I mean, anyway, the next night, was also featured on Ghost Hunters. And so he's like showing me that episode from YouTube before we got there. And the room that they were focusing on in the episode wasn't the room that we booked. So I was like, well, it's okay. It's not that room. So we get there, and the room that was sort of the focus of the Ghost Hunters episode was empty. But you walked around the porch to get to our room and walked by that room. And no one was staying there. So we were in this smaller room that I got a really weird feeling off of. But whatever. I mean, we were staying there and I wasn't going to say anything. So the first night that we were there, I had this experience in the middle of the night where, like, between 2 and 3, 3, 4 in the morning, I kept feeling like somebody was tickling my face with a feather. And I kept, like, swiping my face, and I tried to put the covers over my head, but then I can't really sleep like that. Like, I like to sleep breathing cold air, and I was never able to really sleep under the covers, so then I eventually, finally, put my face back up over the covers, and I would get that, like, feathery touch on my face, and it would wake me up over and over and over again. It was just... And in the morning, I said to my husband, "Did you sleep well?" And he said, "No." And when I had woken up to this aggravation, I kept hearing a weird tinny, like, sound of, like, 1920s radio music or something. Like, somebody had put a radio in our room, or I don't know. It was weird. And I said to my husband in the morning, "Did you sleep all right?" And he's like, "No, I didn't. I kept waking up to this weird sound, like somebody was playing old music on a radio." So that freaked me out. And I told him what happened to me. And he was laughing because he's like, "Well, it's the haunted, you know, breakfast. So thanks for the haunted honeymoon, sweetie." And we asked the owner, and she was a little cagey about, you know, she didn't really want to talk about it. But I called my friend who is a medium, and she said, "Just, you know, say out loud in the room that you don't want to be bothered, and, be very serious about it." So we went to the beach and did our stuff. And at the end of the day, we came back and said, you know, very loud before we went to bed, "You know, we know you're here, and thank you for letting us know you're here. We just don't want to bother anybody. We don't want you to bother us. We really want to sleep tonight." And so we went to bed, and it was quiet. Well, thank goodness. But even the room that wasn't the focus of paranormal investigations, like, we definitely got it from the ghost. That lady came looking for us, which was super creepy, but also really fun. So we had a good time. Anyway, just didn't sleep much. So, I don't know. The ghosts, they come looking for me, guys. Anyway, thanks for letting me share my stories. That's all I got. Those are all my stories. Merry Christmas.
Very cool. Just that simple. Give us a call. Share your stories. 651-300-4977. Or, if you want to, you can always email them to me, dave@darknessradio.com. Hi, Dave. I was wondering if I could get a little help understanding some things. So for the past 5 years or so, I've been noticing that I can read emotions and energy off of people. I have this strange sense to the paranormal, like almost as if I can sense when spirits are there and what sort of energy they give off. Sometimes I can see them as well. There are times that I have dreams that come true, or there are times I wake up fearing for someone, like something bad is going to happen to them, but I don't know what it is. I know that when I was younger, I suffered from sleep paralysis quite a bit, and another form where I'm able to move, but I can't speak at all. It's just as scary as the paralysis, if not more. In my paralysis, I saw a dark figure in a top hat that would get close enough to me so I could see its wicked grin. In the other form, I could see him trying to bring me back to him if I left. There'd be sounds of babies laughing and dogs growling, but I never saw them. Anyway, thank you for your podcast. I quite enjoy it, and that comes from G. Well, G, it sounds like you're dealing with the form of being an empath, if you're picking up people's emotions and energy. I always recommend this, and I stand by it. Echo Bodine has a book called The Gift, and then another book called A Still Small Voice, I think it is. And that has really helped a lot of people like yourself that are coming into these abilities and want a better understanding of them. So if you go check out our store, go to darknessradio.com, click on the store tab, and then on that page you'll see our Amazon page. You click it, it'll take you in, go into the paranormal books, and you'll find the two books I just referenced from Echo Bodine. Click on either one of them, buy it. I think you're going to learn quite a bit from it. It'll be extremely helpful. So go give that a shot first and foremost. The sleep paralysis I've heard of, I've never heard of one where you can't speak. However, there is hysterical fear that can lock up one's voice and keep them from being able to scream. So you might be dealing with a form of that. If it's happening quite often, I might suggest you talk to your doctor about doing a sleep study just to make sure there's no neurological issues going on. Otherwise, reach out to our guest, Heidi Hollis. Heidi Hollis. And we do have some of her books in the store as well, where she talks about Hat Man and those shadow figures. But you might want to educate yourself by reading those books and contacting Heidi for even more help. That would be my suggestion. All right, Tim, where are we off to next?
We're going back to the United Kingdom, Dave, where their top ghost hunter has probed the haunted James House and makes some claims as he does so. We go to Hampton, where Welsh ghost hunter Steve Parsons sat in the dark stillness of the James House waiting for signs of spirits creeping inside the historic colonial. Creepy is just a suggestive term, said Welsh, a scientist who has studied the paranormal for 40 years. I felt really comfortable. We had hot chocolate, he said. That's kind of charming, actually, if you think about it. That October 5th visit to the James House was the first by Parsons, who has worked on documentaries about ghosts that have appeared on the Discovery Network, National Geographic, and the BBC. He plans to return from Wales next year to more closely study the James House in hopes of finding evidence that its ghost stories are real, having talked to locals about whether the original James family still haunts their old mansion. For me, the question of it being haunted remains open, said Parsons. Listening to their accounts certainly whetted my appetite, he went on to say. Parsons, also on the governing council for the British Society for Psychical Research, makes no claims that he can communicate with the paranormal. He said he makes a living studying people who say they've had paranormal experiences, trying to understand why people see ghosts, he said. He often comes to New England to visit suspected haunted houses, and he was led this year to visit the James House by his friend Willie Hassel of the Northampton-based Spirit Chasers Paranormal. He was joined on the visit by a group of about a dozen people who stayed up all night with Parsons, as well as Ron Kolick of the New England Ghost Project, who led a red light seance. James House Association President Skip Webb said his organization is excited that a ghost hunter with Parsons' reputation is bringing their expertise to the 296-year-old home on Towel Farm Road. Ghost stories from the James House told over the years have included a hymnal mysteriously falling from an opening in the ceiling in 2001. Webb says he experienced the presence of a ghost on three occasions. One time he said a woman ran out of the house during a tour screaming that she saw a ghost. Now I'm a firm believer, Webb said. Parsons said he was fascinated by the stories he heard when he visited the James House, describing it as a classic haunted New England home that people in the UK usually only see in movies. Haunted houses in Britain, he said, tend to be made of stone or brick. unlike wooden homes like the James House. It was just like driving onto the set of a Stephen King movie, Parsons said. He said Webb and Hassel also told him about other sightings like that of a Native American ghost and a Bigfoot-like creature. On the all-night tour of the James House, the group spent much of the evening in stillness and silence, listening for sounds in the night. That was the method common in the UK during the 1920s and 1930s, Parsons said, before technology even became a bigger part of ghost hunting. There's a question as to whether it's of any use at all, Parsons said, of the many devices used to research the paranormal. Back in the day, you would just go to the buildings in groups of ones and twos and threes and just simply spend time there documenting with a notebook. Parsons said some of the tour claimed to be psychic or sensitive to the spirit world. A few reported they sensed or felt there were presence of a spirit within the building. Later on in the evening, the group tried using devices designed to light up when they detect spirit activity. Some said they believed ghosts were causing the device to go off, although Parsons said the overall feeling was that the readings were just noise. Parsons said he read up more on the history of the James House since returning to the UK, and he noted reports of paranormal instances going back to 2001. He said that might be because the building sat vacant for a time and saw little activity from the 1970s until the association took it over. Or he said it might just be that you're dealing with stories. Stories are stories, and you've got to be careful, he said. What you're looking for is some hard facts to corroborate that story. Parsons said he has faith a trip back to the James House will be worth it, this time without a group joining him so he can put more focus into studying the home. He said he has also been to locations in New Hampshire, like Fort Constitution, and always goes to new haunted houses with an open mind. A skeptic may dismiss it as animals in the woods or the neighboring properties, Parsons said. Others might interpret those same events as being paranormal.
Speaking of paranormal, Tim, it's time we take a look at football picks. Just a few weeks left, if you can believe it, of football left in our NFL season before the playoffs and the Minnesota Vikings Super Bowl. A guy can dream, Tim. A guy can dream. We've got a lot to discuss today. We're working with betonline.ag. They've always got great stuff going on. And again, for those of you that are not familiar, betonline.ag is the site that you want to go to. If you like to bet on the games and you want to be a part of it, this is what you do. Go to betonline.ag. Use promo code PODCAST1, PODCASTONE, for your 50% sign-up bonus. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Every week there's a contest that could put you in the running for $100 if you're playing along. There is a $5,000 charity contest at the end of the year. And we've been fighting it out, duking it out with the likes of Adam Carolla and Stone Cold Steve Austin for superiority in football picks. We may be falling a little short, but we're still slugging it out. We're trying. We're doing our best. Tim, yes. Where are our picks for this week? Now, I know we've already passed one game. You picked the game between the Bears and Dallas.
Yeah,
that one didn't work out the way you expected it. But yay, Bear down, Chicago Bears.
No, you
got your loss out of the way. Yeah. What are the four games coming up that you feel are the games to bet on, Tim?
Well, coming up this Sunday, Dave, we got some interesting matchups. And, you know, this season is a confusing season. It really is. It's kind of a weird season, but we picked some interesting games this week because there are some interesting matchups this week, and there are a lot of teams out there who are having a hard time establishing their identities this year, especially the NFC East. I don't know who wants to win this division this year. That speaks to last night's game. The Dallas Cowboys, you should just give up this season. I don't think anybody wants to win that division. But let's move on to this Sunday, shall we? Let's start with the Broncos at the Texans, Dave. This is one matchup that's very, very interesting in that the Broncos have kind of found new life out there in Denver. However, the Texans last week.
Yeah, they're kind of hot off a pretty, pretty, pretty big win, my
friend. Aren't they? They beat the Patriots, my friend. They are they're a pretty hot team right now, and they're at home, and they're taking on the Broncos, who are a pretty hot team. However, They're rolling and they're looking pretty impressive there in the AFC South. So we picked the Texans this week to keep rolling down there in Houston. So the Texans are the first one you want to pick this coming Sunday. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are another team that's kind of interesting and fascinating in that Bruce Arians has that team rolling as well. They're at home and they're taking on the Indianapolis Colts, who are kind of struggling to find an identity as well. We're going to pick the Buccaneers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week. That's another team that we're going to...
That we are, me friend.
We're going to ride with them. You're going to think this is kind of an interesting game. The games this week are kind of weird in that we have a bunch of teams that are sitting on the fence and don't know how they want to react or how they want to play. There are a lot of division games this week, and there are a lot of games that teams need to win their division. The Green Bay Packers are in an interesting conundrum this week. This could be a gotcha game for the Green Bay Packers as they take on the Washington Redskins, okay? Otherwise known as the Minnesota Vikings of the NFC East. They have Adrian Peterson.
So much promising, but nothing delivered. Yep, that would be it.
That's it. That's exactly what the Redskins are. The Packers are at home in the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, and we're going to make this the lock game of the week. This is why, because Aaron Rodgers always wins in must-win situations, and the Minnesota Vikings are taking on the Lions at home. Another must-win situation for the Minnesota Vikings. They both have to win their games this week. Which means what, Dave?
Both will lose?
No.
Oh, well, what?
That means Aaron Rodgers will step up and win. The Vikings are probably going to choke. So we're taking the...
No, Rodgers is not the Rodgers of the past, my friend. Trust me, I've had him in fantasy football all season.
No, I'm telling you. In this one, the Packers are probably going to step up. We're taking the Packers as a lock, 28-17, over the Redskins, who generally don't travel well. They're not a good traveling team. So we're going to take the Green Bay Packers 28-17 at home in Lambeau. And there's a team that played the Minnesota Vikings on Monday night. They ain't so good. Or the Vikings on Monday night, that is. But there is a team that travels very, very well in the NFL, and that's the Seattle Seahawks. They tend to go where they need to go, and they tend to win where they need to win. And they're featured on Sunday night this week against the LA Rams. And the Rams so far have been very, very hot and cold at home. But the Seahawks need to keep pace with the 49ers in order to keep the NFC West. So we're going to pick the Seattle Seahawks to win over the Rams in LA. So the Seahawks are your final team. So again, to recap, Texans, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Packers in a lock 28-17, and the Seahawks. Those are your four teams for this week.
All right, where are we going next in the world of supernatural news?
We continue on to Tom DeLonge, the famous Blink-182 band member, has decided to not only just jump headlong into the world of UFOs now, Dave, he's legitimized himself by signing a contract with the U.S. Army. It's an interesting story in that Tom DeLonge, the founding Blink-182 member and the band's former co-frontman, may just be the world's most preeminent voice on unidentified flying objects and alien technology now. In 2015, DeLonge, who also masterminds the pop rock group Angels and Airwaves, founded the To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, an organization established to pursue research into UFOs and extraterrestrial existence. At first glance, it seemed like DeLonge was just diving headfirst into harebrained conspiracy theories and perhaps obliging his longtime UFO obsession just a little too much. However, as more and more headlines poured out over the last 4 years and more insight was gained into what exactly TTSA aims to do, DeLonge and company have now legitimately silenced any doubters. Last month, U.S. Navy spokesman Joseph Gradisher confirmed that three videos posted by TTSA indeed show unidentified aerial phenomena.
And I'm done.
Okay. Each of those videos titled FLIR 1, Gimbal, and Go Fast were posted both by the Academy and a subsequent New York Times expose in December of 2017 and March of 2018. Nearly 5 years after a UFO sighting was recorded, the Navy has officially confirmed the object was, in fact, a UFO. NBC7's Marianne Cushy has what's up as far as that's concerned. The Navy considers the phenomena contained depicted in these videos as unidentified, Gradisher official spokesperson for the Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Information Warfare went on to say in September, and it explained that they were not cleared for public release. The latest news out of the bizarro DeLong world we now live in is another mind blower. On October 17th, DeLong and TTSA announced a partnership with the U.S. Army Combat Capabilities Development Command, or CCDC, to research and advance TTSA's material and technology innovations in order to develop enhanced capabilities for Army ground vehicles. The newly signed agreement, a cooperative research and development agreement, states that the Army U.S. Army researchers will work alongside TTSA's crew for 5 years to further study and research the organization's materials, alien alloys, etc., and otherworldly technology they've already been conducting tests on. The agreement has been published in full by the Black Vault. TTSA's technology solutions, which leverage developments in material science, space-time metric engineering, quantum physics, beamed energy propulsion, and active camouflage, have the potential to enhance survivability and effectiveness of multiple army systems, an official TTSA news release read. TTSA will share its discoveries with Ground Vehicle System Center and Ground Vehicle Survivability and Protection, and the U.S. Army shall provide laboratories, expertise, support, and resources to help characterize the technologies and its applications. If TTSA and DeLong weren't validated by their previous eyebrow-raising work, this new contract literally aligns them, rather, with the U.S. Army and puts the former Blink-182 rocker in rarefied air indeed. It's hard to argue with his qualifications after the government comes a-calling and wants to compare notes. Our partnership with TTSA serves as an exciting non-traditional source for novel materials and transformational technologies to enhance our military ground system capabilities, said Dr. Joseph Cannon of U.S. Army Futures Command in the news release. At the Army's Ground Vehicle Systems Center, we look forward to this partnership and the potential technical innovations forthcoming. It's an interesting deal that the government's in bed now with Tom DeLong, Dave. It's almost like, you know, DeLong has the money and the resources and finally has kind of taken the bull by the horns and developed something with the government. It's interesting that someone's kind of cracked that nut, so to speak.
Yeah, that's very weird.
Yeah.
All right. Hi, Dave and Tim. It's Alina. Alina, Tim. Hey, Alina.
Hi.
I shared some of my shadow people experiences with you guys for a parashare a few years ago. I have something else to tell you.
Mm.
That sounds a bit ominous.
It does, yeah.
Last summer of 2018, I had another experience unlike any other that has left me shaken. I was battling a pulsating headache, trying to get some sleep through the constant throbbing. I wasn't fully asleep yet, but everything suddenly went black. I found myself surrounded by darkness. Straining to see, I started to hear at least 2 to 3 males talking somewhere, not far from where I was. I couldn't make out the words being said, no matter how much I tried. Then all of a sudden, it was as if I was noticed, and the talking abruptly stopped. I couldn't see anything or anyone, but sensed something come up to me. I felt I was being watched and observed. By who? I don't know. Then a deep male voice spoke up and said, "The devil has entered your life." Confused and startled, I fought back saying, "No, no, no!" I snapped out of whatever I was in. I'm not sure what to think of any of it. All I know is I wasn't welcome wherever that was. It felt like I tapped into something I wasn't supposed to. Do you know anyone else who has experienced anything similar to this? Nope. Can't say that I have. How about you, Tim?
I can't say I have either, no.
Also, completely off topic, may I send you a funny and somewhat embarrassing story I think you might like? Yes, yes, mm-hmm. Alina. Yeah. You never have to ask, can you send us a story that's embarrassing to you? We love those. Feel free to share them with us. Dave@darknessradio.com. All right, Tim, is this our final story for the week?
This is our final story, yeah.
Brrr, boom. Where are we off to?
Under the sea, Dave.
Under the sea. Under the sea. All right, what's going on under the sea, Tim?
Well, NASA is developing an underwater rover to seek out alien life. It's no big secret that NASA is always planning for the distant future, but what if we told you that they're working on a new rover that could seamlessly maneuver beneath miles of ice in hopes of searching for alien life on other planets? Bruy, or the Buoyant Rover for Under Ice Exploration, is currently being tested in Antarctica, one of the least hospitable places on Earth, although the rover has previously explored areas in Alaska and the Arctic. This is the first ever venture to the South Pole. For testing purposes, it remained tethered to the surface in case it malfunctions or goes rogue. Handlers will also be drilling through thick sheets of ice to place Bruy along the bottom of each floating mass. In contrast to other underwater exploration devices like submarines, Bruy is decidedly more of a land rover. It's ultra buoyant that keeps it firmly pressed against the underside of the iceberg. It then uses its wheels to drive upside down along the ice. The team of engineers at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, created Bruy with the long-term goal of exploring deep waters on other planets, including Jupiter's moon Europa and Saturn's moon Enceladus. Yes, yeah.
Enceladus, isn't it?
Enceladus. Yeah. Enceladus. Yep. Sure. Yep. Enchilada. We could call it that too. It's the Saturn's moon enchilada. I'm kind of hungry now.
It's a tasty moon.
It is, yeah. The scientists estimate that the sheets of ice there could be between 6 and 12 miles deep. Knowing that our own planet, the space where the ocean water meets the solid ice, provides a habitat for a virtually endless number of organisms, they've calculated that these underwater arenas are the best places to go looking for extraterrestrial life. We found that life often lives at interfaces, both the sea bottom and the ice-water interface at the top. Most submersibles have a challenging time investigating this area, as ocean currents might cause them to crash, or they would waste too much power maintaining position, explains lead engineer Andy Klesch. Bruy, however, uses buoyancy to remain anchored against the ice and is impervious to most currents. In addition, it can safely power down, turning on only when it needs to take a measurement so that it can spend months observing the under ice environment. The team on the ground in Antarctica includes Klesch, JPL lead scientist Kevin Hand, University of Western Australia engineer Dan Arthur, and mechanical engineer Dan Beresford, who is putting the 3-foot-long rover under rigorous testing over the next few months, including evaluation of how well it uses the two onboard cameras to record imagery. Bruy will carry several science instruments to measure parameters related to life, such as dissolved oxygen, water salinity, pressure, and temperature, said Beresford, who will monitor the instruments throughout the trials. He recognizes, though, that the environment on other planets might be completely different from anything even Antarctica could offer. Once we get there, he adds, we only really know how to detect life similar to that on Earth, so it's possible that very different microbes might be difficult to recognize. NASA recognizes all of this, and already quite used to thorough experimentation, is dedicated to developing the rover until everything's quite right or just right. The team will continue to monitor and make adjustments to Bruy until it can perform under the ice for months at a time, remotely navigate without a tether, and dive deeper into the ocean. While Bruy is being tested below sea ice, NASA is also currently working on the Europa Clipper orbiter, which itself is scheduled to take flight in 2025 to study Jupiter's moon Europa. This could provide an opportunity to lay plans for even deeper planetary exploration, including missions that could search for life well above the ice.
Well, that's it, folks. We close out another week of the strange and unusual with Supernatural News and Parashare. Again, we'd love to hear your stories. 651-300-4977 is a number to call. And with Christmas upon us, if you're looking for that perfect gift item, how about my book, The Other Side, A Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal? $10 signed. And $4.95 shipping and handling. We can get them out to you if you're interested. Just email me, dave@darknessradio.com. Put in the subject line, your book. and tell me how many you'd like. I will have my wife send over an invoice to you. We will sign them and get them in the mail immediately so we can try to get them out to you quickly before Christmas so they make the perfect stocking stuffer gifts. I may have one or two of the Paranormal Challenge DVDs left over at $30. It gives you the entire mini series of Paranormal Challenge, the TV series I did with Zach Bagans back in 2011, all 13 episodes in one comprehensive set. That's $30 for the set. It is $4.95 for the shipping and handling. If you get the book and the DVD, it's one shipping price. So think about that as well. You could just email me, dave@darknessradio.com. And for more cool items, the books you hear featured on the show, the documentaries, DVDs, and if you're looking for perfect paranormal swag and gift items for the holidays, for those people on your list that are really hard to buy for, go to darknessradio.com. Click on the store tab. You'll see the page open up and you'll see a link to our Amazon storefront. When you go in there, you can get access to all the different books that we feature on the show. You can get access to different gift items, documentaries, films, all kinds of cool stuff. It's all right there. Every purchase, you get it for the exact price that it says on there. But every purchase you make, a small percentage goes to Beyond the Darkness. So make sure you go sign up. And if you're going to use Amazon, go in through our links so that whatever you're purchasing, a little percentage goes to help out your buddies running the show. We'd appreciate that. Go check it out for yourself. Darknessradio.com. Click on that store button and be a part of it. We will be back tomorrow with more of the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader. That's Tim Dennis. This is Beyond the Darkness.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.